Hello and welcome, Southern Comfort SoCon podcast, where we talk all things Southern Conference sports. Cole Spivey here, as always, with Will Fleming. Will, you want to say what's up to the people?
Good to be back. Good to be back.
You know, I think before we kind of get into these football schedules, you know, I just really want to emphasize how much bigger we're trying to make this thing, I think, a little bit. You know, got some big news coming up, something big coming on later in the pod as well. Last week, you know, we had the commissioner on. I don't know how much bigger you can get than that. You know, we didn't put him to the fire too much, as some fans probably would have wanted.
It's coming.
You know, we hope to have him back on and get to kind of hear more of his thoughts and knowledge on the SoCon and what's going on, maybe a little bit of inside. Talking about SoCon, kind of let's jump into the games here, even rolling all the way back to the 26th of Saturday. Mercer defeats North Alabama 17-7. I mean, Carter Peavy had 115 passing yards. Micah Bell had 73 rushing. Mercer didn't really look good in this game. 1-10 North Alabama team, I believe, last year.
Yeah, and Cole, I will say, though, we learned a lot about North Alabama after the way they played against Chatt, which we'll kind of get into in just a second. So, no, I don't think Mercer did play well at all. You know, they won the possession battle, which we knew they would. But only 285 yards of offense. That is going to be an issue for Mercer, as this Mercer team still looks like they want to go on and take that next step and win the conference. If they play like that, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't believe they've ever been to the playoffs.
No,
Mercer. No. But you know, I think the one positive you can look at this, you now know at this date that is a really good North Alabama team.
Yeah,
To get wins like that early on in the season when they're not as in conference, to get games like that and to come out on top, especially, I believe it was like 1,000 degrees that day.
Yeah.
So, you know, some little bit of a resume builder, chest check moment for Mercer. Two games that were not resume builders or check chest moments. Tennessee Tech lost to Furman 45-10, and Samford defeated Shorter, not even a D1 school. 69, nice, 14. Michael Harris, 375 passing yards. Who's your offensive player of the week this week? You know, it really should have been more than 69. Samford didn't start off hot. Furman looks pretty good as well. Dominic Roberto had quite a few rushing yards there. What are your thoughts, Will?
I mean, you know, we can kind of skip past that Samford game. That's exactly what we expected. We expected a high scoring game with their explosive offense they have and their quick offense. Furman's good. Furman's really, really good. No, Tennessee Tech's not good. No one expected them to win this game. I think the spread was 27 points and they easily covered. However, you know, the defense of Furman, I think every single player should be defensive player of the week for Furman. Forcing six turnovers, you know, forcing two fumbles that they recovered, getting four picks. That's very impressive. And that's a decently pass heavy Tennessee Tech team. So they really shut them down. I'm going to go with a quick shout out to Fred Norman, Big Fred, leaving HSU, going to Furman, following coach, one of our coaches out there, offensive line coach. So, good for Furman. They haven't been tested obviously just yet, but that's exactly what I expected them to do, being so heavily ranked.
196 rushing yards as a team. Your star there, Dominic Roberto, only 59 yards on 18 carries. I think what worries me, if you're talking about anything, Tyler Huff ran the ball 10 times. He had a few injuries last year. You don't want to see your quarterback running that much. So I think that's something to kind of circle for Furman, you know, especially against the Tennessee Tech team. some of the other games last week, kind of moving into the Saturday slate. Mercer loses to Ole Miss. They got a reality check. That North Alabama close win, 73-7. Not even really a fight there. Maybe we'll just look at these Power Five schools that were played first. Western Carolina goes down to Arkansas and loses 59-13. And Wofford travels to Pittsburgh and loses 45-7. I think that's a pretty good loss if you're Wofford. You got any thoughts on those three games?
You know, throw them away, collect a check, and move on. I don't think there's too much to talk about. Let's go with the ETSU game next, ETSU-Jacksonville State. I was there 49-3. ETSU started off very strong on the first drive of the game, and we kind of just deteriorated. If you're ETSU, you got to worry. We ran the ball 38 times, I think only 87 yards. It's like 2.3 yards per carry. That's a problem. You know, granted, we are going against these big DLs from, you know, Jacksonville State. They're typically like SEC transfers. They're usually pretty big bounce backs down there. But you got to be very, very worried, I think, if you're ETSU. I don't think it's time to panic by any means. I think we can panic after week three if we play poorly against Austin Peay, who's going to be a good test for us. But, you know, if you're ETSU, you got to look forward. I don't think we're calling for Randy's head just yet. Or not Randy, sorry, George Quarles' head just yet. But I know fans are very, very impatient up in Johnson City. Cole, did you get to see any of the VMI game?
I did not. And just talking a little bit more about that ETSU game, you did take a lead. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know what that means to you, but you did have a lead at some point. I think for this team, you know, just having your guys back, Rydell back, means a lot. And, you know,
I will say, you know, Rydell got banged up. For those that didn't watch, he got banged up, kind of sat him out. And I think he may be sitting out this week as well. So that, you know, plays a little impact, but we couldn't get anything going, and I didn't see a single bit of fight in the second half, and that was very, very frustrating coming from a fan point of view.
Yeah, and speaking about VMI, as you had mentioned, we laughed at them, talked about how they weren't going to be able to succeed in this new era of college football, and they're going to have to go down to D2, and then they're only SoCon team that wins in week one, you know, this weekend. Colin Ironside is back for what almost seems like his
15th year.
Yeah. He'll be quarterback by the end of the season. We don't know, but I do think, you know, at least right now they've got a good, they've always had good quarterbacks there. It's just being consistent and not getting hurt, I think. And 173 rushing yards, 239 passing yards. I don't believe Davidson has scholarships.
You know, correct. I believe they're in the Pioneer League. However, this is a Davidson team that went to the FCS playoffs a few years ago. So they're not far removed from really solid squads. I'll give it to you. This is an ugly, ugly, ugly game. I think VMI went up 6-0 to start the game off. They, I think the PAT was missed or blocked. Davidson scores, takes the lead in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter with 51 seconds left to play, they score the game-winning touchdown, 25-yard touchdown pass from Ironside. And then the 2-point conversion failed. An ugly, ugly game of football, Cole.
Yeah, VMI didn't make a kick.
No. However, if you are VMI, you got to be pleased with the 412 yards of offense you got. But man, what's to go for it? If you know, if you don't have any points, then why are you bragging about the 412, you know, yards of offense?
Right. They did turn the ball over once with a fumble and once with an interception. Recovered another lost fumble as well. But I think he circled the kicking. Extra points and field goals not going in is going to be a problem come conference play if you can't make those.
Absolutely.
And the only other game, well, I guess there were two other games, Power 5, Citadel at Georgia Southern, 34-0. Citadel, I don't know if you saw the rant from the coach.
I did.
Two weeks ago, he said, we are a bad team. We are a very bad team. 14 passing yards. 198 rushing. Cooper Wallace, 113 yards on 16 carries is pretty good. And any thoughts on what their own is called a bad team?
I mean, I love that from the coach. He's not afraid to share. He doesn't sugarcoat things, and I think that's admirable. However, I think one positive you can take from this is, you know, is Cooper Wallace. You know, you're getting 4.5 yards per carry. He got 7.1 yards per carry. But, you know, with that offense, if you can average 4 yards a carry, that's you're driving down the field, right? So if they're getting a good push off the line, it's going to be a hard day for their opponents. However, man, only being so one-dimensional is not going to get you very far, Cole.
Yeah, and I think whatever they've done with the blocking rule, FCS Nation on Twitter complains about it all the time, says they've crippled military schools.
Yeah. They made them play real football, Cole.
Yeah, and I think you've seen – Wofford transitioning to real football and seeing those struggles. I think they looked a little bit better this year and towards the end of last year, but only 8 pass attempts at a bowl series school is not going to get you through there. And I think you've got to, you know, that coach is going to come in and run what they've run for the past 20 years. not saying too much. They did beat Western last year. I don't think it's going to beat the Montanas and North Dakota States of the league. Maybe get you into the playoffs on a down SoCon year.
Yeah, of course.
And then, I mean, turn into the last game that I think was truly an upset.
Yeah.
In a butt whooping, North Alabama, they were playing at Chattanooga, I believe.
That is correct.
No, they were playing in Alabama.
Were they?
Okay, playing in Alabama.
No, yeah. Yeah.
41-27 is sickening, I think, to lose to a North Alabama squad like that. There were Western pretty much in that ballpark with Arkansas on the road, you know?
Absolutely. And Cole, I love it. I absolutely love it. You got to worry if you are UTC with Chase Artopius, I believe his name is, coming from UCLA. A decent transfer. I mean, anyone coming from a big school, you're going to be pretty, you know, expect them to do a lot. 22 of 46, Cole. That's not great. You're still passed for 311 yards, which, you know, that's excellent. But man, you got to be worried. Looks like they gave the ball to Javon Watley is his name, the wide receiver out there, for 106 yards, you know, six receptions, long of 49. But Cole, if I'm Chad, I'm getting a little worried right now. Because
into the third quarter, they had a 27-21 lead and let North Alabama score three unanswered touchdowns.
Three unanswered, and that's the thing. I mean, they were, you know, they started off down 21-0, come back, they get up 21-17, or sorry, they get up 27-21, and that's when they fall apart. So, yeah, so you got to figure out a way to close it out if you're Chattanooga.
Yeah, you score a touchdown to start the fourth quarter, force a stop.
Yep.
A punt in three plays, and then nine plays missed field goal, touchdown punt, touchdown turnover on downs in 10 plays. You got to get in the end zone. And then you get two plays, 90 yards, touchdown. I mean, maybe even in that fourth quarter looked a little bit like the Clemson-Duke game last night.
Absolutely.
But you've got to figure out something better there. And
Cole, what do you take away? What are you going to take away from the first really full week of SoCon football?
I think there's a lot. It's very clearly becoming a two-horse race, I think, in the SoCon.
Yeah.
Samford and Furman, Mercer in that three kind of role of, if I can beat everybody else, maybe we can get into the playoffs. If we can beat one of Furman or Samford, maybe we can get into the playoffs, but then maybe we shoot ourselves in the foot and ruin the conference. It's fun. I don't really have much else to say about that week one. And you got any other thoughts on it?
My thing is, you know, my rebuttal to your point about Mercer is, are they just going to rely on Devron Harper all year? Is that what they're going to do? Because it seems like that's their only option right now. And I look forward to seeing what they can do. But starting off 0-2 is not where you want to be. Or sorry, 1-1 rather, is expected. But man, to me, it looks like an 0-2 after only winning 17-7.
Hey, exactly.
Not a very pretty game.
Say. Yeah. If you're 1-1 and you blew out North Alabama, but your 1-1 looks a lot brighter after seeing what they did to Chattanooga. So,
absolutely.
Kind of before our transition here, Will, you want to bring some new?
Yeah. You know, we have a big announcement. You know, we have waited on having a good sponsor for this podcast. We didn't want to have just anybody. That's the big thing. So, you know, finding officially licensed apparel for FCS schools can be just as rough as your first season coming up from D2, Cole, especially if you don't live near a big campus bookstore. Big online retailers just slap your school's logo on a cookie cutter design that they're bland, they're boring, right? But it's 2023, and the good thing is Walk On Apparel has taken the field. Walk On Apparel is focused on capturing your school's culture and traditions in designs that are as different as they are affordable. Plus, the good thing is 10% of the profit from every sale gets donated right back to our school's athletic fund. That's a win for your alma mater and the FCS as a whole. Southern Comfort listeners can take 15% off their order at checkout using code COMFORT15, COMFORT15. New school collections dropping every month, including some new upcoming Southern Conference members to keep an eye out for. So check out walkon-apparel.com to shop, or follow them on Twitter and Instagram to know what's dropping next. That's walkon-apparel.com. Up the fans.
I think that's huge. You know, I give my thoughts on just this opportunity with them is I think one of my first messages to them when they reached out to us, we were kind of having this conversation, was like, you got any Western Carolina gear coming? Because I definitely speak from the heart. Conversation with my girlfriend last week. She's like, oh, it's school pride day at the school she works at. I need a cool Western shirt to wear. You're the only one that I know that has any. And I've got a very small collection. So any new Western gear that's coming out, I'm going to be right on it. I know they've kind of hinted at something else coming from Johnson City sometime soon, maybe as well, Will.
They sure have. And I think the big thing is coming soon, you know, with the ETSU gear. I told them, I was like, listen, hey, I need gear for my guys, right? ETSU fans, we are the first to jump on the wagon of anything brand new, right? So I know they have UTC gear, some really, and hey, Cole, I hate to say it, some really damn good UTC gear. Man, they got a scrappy gold and blue shirt I'm looking at right now. They have the Chattanooga Mox. Man, they got the freaking bridge, man. The Walnut Street Bridge tree. That's a good looking t-shirt right there, Cole.
Yeah, and I think it's important, especially at the FCS level. Like they said, it's mostly cookie cutter. I had some going into college of just a purple shirt that had a Western Carolina old logo screen printed on it. That's just not good quality. And hey, I think that's important as well.
And keep in mind, whenever we're making a purchase, we're giving back to our alma mater.
And you're getting a 15% discount by using our code.
Exactly.
What could be better?
Hey, I can't believe anything's better than that, Cole.
I'm sure, you know, the Jake Stevens last year, we've got a lot of Chattanooga listeners, so maybe they'll jump on it.
Of course. Hey, don't forget, Comfort 15.
Get yourself 15% off. You can't beat a good deal. Transitioning to week two here. Furman plays the only P5 team in South Carolina, 7:30. I don't know. I mean, South Carolina didn't look good against UNC. Furman's probably not that good. They are playing in Columbia. Thoughts?
If anyone can do it, Furman can do it, right? You got to be perfect on both sides of the ball. You can't have early turnovers. You cannot have early penalties. You got to play well. And I think Furman can do it. Do I think they're going to? No, not at all. I think Spencer Rattler has a chance to tear them apart. However, let's look at Furman's secondary. They're dogs. So, again, I think Furman has to play perfect. But, hey, if anyone can do it, I think Furman can.
Yeah, and I think you've just got to play that decision of what's worth going down there and playing for versus what are we looking at getting in the rest of the season, and is it worth losing a quarterback or running back or a lineman when, you know, you don't get a trophy if you win that game.
Correct.
You're going to get your paycheck regardless. If you play them close or you let them blow you out. Trying to think about, you know, just the best way to talk about these games. Maybe ETSU next, hosting a non-D1 Carson Newman. You said Rydell may not be playing in that one.
It looks like Rydell is questionable. If it's me, I'm definitely going to sit him. I don't think there's any reason for him to get out there. Go ahead, put Baron May in the game. Go ahead, put Timmy Dorsey. Not the same Timmy Dorsey we know, but a different Timmy Dorsey. We can put him in the game and see what kind of he's made of. But this is a good confidence builder for ETSU, and I'm hoping we can run the ball.
Yeah, and I think your only thought with that is you don't want to lose your starting quarterback. But if you start getting mojo with another guy, and Rydell's already been portaling a little questionable for you, I think if you know ETSU head coach Quarles, you find a guy that's winning games for you,
yep,
where you're at, you might not pull him.
You know, I'm a Rydell guy for life. I do know this. Coach Quarles did want a quarterback battle in spring ball or in fall camp rather, and didn't get one. And as far as what I saw the other day, we dropped a mat dramatically from 1 to 2 on the depth chart. It's a comfort thing. I think it affects every player. But Baron May's a great athlete, but I really hope he can kind of get it together because he did not look good game one.
Yeah, and kind of talking about the next game here, a team that has
Cole, can I say it?
Yeah.
Can I say it? Conference championship game, 1:30 on Saturday, 1:30 Central, 2:30 p.m. We got Samford and Western Carolina. Cole, this is your conference championship.
Man, you know, I felt a lot better saying that 7 days ago. My only concern, you know, kind of turning back a little bit to talk about the Arkansas game, we didn't quarterback play. Western Carolina passes for, as a team, 227 yards. We were like fifth in the country last year in passing yards. And only 64 rushing yards, although I will say, biggest factor here, held Arkansas to 105 rushing yards. SEC school with Raheem Sanders, and I mean, they've got some studs down there.
Yeah.
You give them that. And really, KJ Jefferson just picked us apart. The issue is you're playing a school in Samford that does not run the ball as much as they throw it. And they've got a guy that's probably better than KJ Jefferson. You know, I think this is going to show you kind of two different ways to look at this season building that people do. You know, some schools jump out and go ahead and get that butt whooping and then come back into more serious play versus Samford, who's played a team that, you know, they ran all over last week. And so they're not going to have any real pounding readiness almost because the way they did Shorter versus Western is we've already seen the brink. And what are you going to throw at me that Arkansas didn't last week? You want to – any thoughts, Will, score prediction?
I don't know. I think the pace of play is very difficult for Western. However, I mean, I know you guys can play fast at times. We got to see this pace of play. Is Sanford going to shoot themselves in the foot? Sometimes they get a little too quick. I'm interested in seeing what Western can do. I think it's Sanford's ball game for sure. But, hey, with the athletes that y'all have at Western, man, you never know.
I think if you're talking about this, you write WCU quarterback question mark. And that's where it starts and ends. If they got a guy that can even play decently, 250, 300 passing yards, don't turn the ball over eight times like Western did against Arkansas, were really high in FCS last year in turnovers a game, take care of the ball. You've got defense. The defense is there. Find a way to get the ball moving. Cole Gonzalez, I thought, was going to be the guy. Now we're looking at year three of Western Carolina continuing to have quarterback issues, be that injury or inconsistency to players. Citadel host Campbell was top 10 recruiting classes back-to-back in the FCS, I believe, for Campbell. Does Citadel throw the ball more than 10 times, Will?
No, not a chance. God, no. Not even thinking about it. I will say Campbell came off a very, very good and impressive game, I think, against William & Mary, who's a top 10 ranked team in William & Mary. Coming up 310 yards of offense, 226 passing. Hey, they were 22 of 26 passing the ball, Cole. You really can't get too much better than that. I'm impressed. I really am. I expect Campbell to go in there and win the game. But, you know, playing a military school, they're never going to roll over, right? This is Citadel's first home game. This is big for them. I know they're never going to quit. You know, playing basketball, they're never going to quit. You know, no sport they're going to lay down. However, just what their coach said, Cole, I don't think they're very good.
Yeah, maybe we'll just leave the question mark next to them until the coach comes out and says, we're good now. Be prepared for us. And I'm sure that'll be right around Western Carolina week when they start figuring everything out.
For sure.
But I think it's a good challenge for them. I just think that at some point you stop trying to run the ball and hire a coach that's going to throw. Yeah. Go recruit guys that are fast and scrawny or something that other schools don't want. Go find a guy with a cannon that other schools don't want. Go in the portal and get grad transfers. That's their thing. Go get a guy that's an absolute laser for an arm and figure the rest of it out. A SoCon team, really potentially the only SoCon team, well, other than Samford, that has a chance to go 2-0, still keep that undefeated record after next week. VMI is at Bucknell. Very winnable game. I believe they dropped it to them last year in a close one.
That's correct.
You think the Colin Ironside and the Key Dets start 2-0?
I think it's going to be a very similar game to Davidson. I could expect it to be an ugly, ugly game of football. Let's hope that the kickers are ready for this one. And I don't know, Bucknell played a decent game last week against James Madison. You got to throw that away. They couldn't move the ball too much, but over 200 yards of offense, we'll take it, right? Against a James Madison game is pretty strong. Cole, I'd love to see VMI win this. I don't – if it's a close game, VMI's has it. I think VMI has it if it's a close game. Bucknell, I don't know what they have this year. I don't know if they've ever had anything ever.
Yeah, I'll say this. They've done those new rules with the timeouts and the games move a little faster. Maybe this is one of those games you're actually thankful for the new rule. 6 o'clock, you know, they can get back to VMI before the next day, regardless of a win or loss. And this was an interesting game, this next one, because it's Chattanooga against FCS Independent Kennesaw State. still kind of making that transition. I don't believe, are they eligible for playoffs? I'm not sure if you know that.
They are not eligible for playoffs since they are making the transition. This is a big one for Chat. You start 0-2. This is your first home game. I think this is a big, big, big game for them. Kennesaw State didn't look great last week against Tusculum. 38-7 win. I think they got down 7-0 to start the game. Didn't look amazing. However, I think the issue with the clock, you know, moving so quickly as much as it does with a running team like that, I don't think you're going to score as much as you used to.
Well, and I mean, you've got to wonder what Kennesaw State's playing for this year. Making the transition, you don't get a trophy, you can't go to the playoffs. But I do agree with you wholeheartedly. Chattanooga, you know, this wasn't necessarily a must-win game going into the season, but you've got to go. You can't get blown out like you did against UNA and feel good about week three or week four or playoffs. You know, that's something you can go beat that Kennesaw State team. We see how the FCS committee feels about them. I think that's something that could pole vault you over them. If they had that win on their resume last year, that Western Carolina win or the Western Carolina loss wouldn't have eliminated them from the playoffs.
Correct. And Cole, speaking back to last year, UTC hasn't won a game. They're three losses in a row. They've lost their last three games. All right, they haven't won a game obviously since, you know, November 12th, right? It's a long time ago. November 5th. But they've dropped their last three. Okay. Is it time they're about to get another win?
Hey, I don't think it is. They continue to search for a quarterback. Yep. They had a guy that was decent last year, but I don't know. Maybe curse of losing to Western Carolina.
Cool. I'm going to go ahead and pick. I'm going to go ahead and pick this one. I think Chat wins this game. And I think they win it by 10 points.
They are playing in Chattanooga. That's huge.
They are playing
in
Chattanooga. They get the Colts.
I think Kennesaw State's just going to still be upset about their loss to the SoCon a few years ago in the playoffs and circle this one and want it bad. Only two games left here to talk about. A team you've already mentioned prior, William & Mary, is hosting Wofford. William & Mary's ranked in the FCS. Wofford, I don't want to say they're one of the worst teams. They were one of the worst teams last year.
Yeah.
Do they stand a chance?
No. They don't. William & Mary is a very, very solid team, very stout. They're experienced. I mean, you got to be impressed. You know, they threw the ball 17 times last week. Wofford did. Their top receiver had one reception for 75 yards and a touchdown. Was it one of those probably gadget plays, you know, kind of get the guy open on a streak over the middle, potentially, you know, with their offense, they can kind of lull you to sleep and then they kind of get you. But I'm happy they're playing real football now, Cole. That's my big takeaway. This is a very, very tough test for William & Mary. For Wofford.
I think this is still a transitional year for Wofford. They've got a transfer from Western Carolina, Samuel Cornett. I believe he has to sit out this year. But next year, man, he could be something really, really, really good for them, especially if this year they can continue to transition, into that – passing role and realize that that's what they want to do is pass the ball. You know, maybe next year when they get that guy in, they can actually resemble a good team and have some, more recruiting. I think they need to keep that coach another year, regardless of win or loss. But kind of looking at the last game here, Morehead State at Mercer. Morehead State, I'll be honest, in the Pioneer League, didn't even realize that they actually had a football team.
Cole, I'm going to be honest with you. They struggled heavily last week with West Virginia State, who I believe is an NAIA or D2. Not looking great for Morehead State going into a pissed off Mercer team who wants to score a lot of points. They haven't scored a lot of points this year so far, and I think this is the game. Devron Harper and Carter Peavy really kind of get going together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's not much else to say about that game. Tune up for Mercer kind of
transition. Cole, what's the final score in your opinion in this game? Do you think it can get really ugly?
I think their coach, Mercer coach, has printed out what they got beat by last week, and they're going to try and go match that this week to make another statement to the FCS as a whole. Especially, it's almost 2 weeks of frustration for them because I think they were thinking – the UNA game was going to be a little bit more of a coming out party on national television, and it got delayed and ugly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't really have much else to say this week, Will. Anything you want to add? You know, we want to shout out our sponsor there again, Walk On Apparel, Comfort 15. If you want to get 15% off, get you some nice Chattanooga gear, maybe some ETSU gear coming up. I'll keep bothering them about getting some Catamount gear.
Absolutely. And Cole, again, these are high quality shirts and they're high quality designs. And I am pumped to see the future of this company, to see it grow. It's already grown a lot. And I'm actually pumped to see some ETSU gear getting out there.
Yeah, and I think that's it, guys. Thank you for listening this week. Look for us again in maybe a week or two to kind of talk about things continue to roll. And you know, maybe not even that long. If Western Carolina upsets Samford, we might be on here tomorrow, the game the day after, you know?
You're exactly right, Cole.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.